Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, what's the difference between a leader and a manager? We go through some of the governors in America that are doing the right thing and that, for whatever reason, are not standing with courage. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. We also talk about a pretty extraordinary and graphic curriculum that is being implemented in schools across the country and in New York City. If you want to support our program, please go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support if you want to support our program and the work we are doing to continue to reach young people all across the country. I want to thank Chandra for your support, your monthly support. Lucy for your support. Thank you. I want to thank Jeff for your support. Thank you. And I want to thank also Rita for your support. charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. And if you want to help us out, please make sure you give us a 5-star rating on your podcast provider and you hit subscribe and tell your friends to do the same. The more you subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, the more it helps us reach millions of young people. So make sure you are subscribed and type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider and hit subscribe. Leader versus manager, where is the courage? The good governors, the bad governors, and dare I say the dumb ones. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I want to explain something or explore something with you today. And I hope all of you had a good long weekend. Am I right, Kamala Harris? Kamala Harris over the weekend said that, "I hope everyone enjoys their long weekend." Of course, Memorial Day was this last weekend. Memorial Day is usually the beginning of summer in a lot of people's calendar, in their minds and how they do scheduling. Now, the question should be, why do we have Memorial Day right before summer or at the beginning of summer? Well, for any of you that know military history, summers is when all the casualties would pile up. If there was a war, for example, between the Allied forces and the Axis, the beginning of summer is when death really started to mount. D-Day, of course, was June 6, 1944. And that began a massive campaign throughout the European theater. And yet Kamala Harris said, "I hope you have a long weekend, a nice long weekend." I don't think she said anything about the wonderful troops who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And we as conservatives must never forget the three-tied knot of our existence. Those that came before us, worrying about the present, and those that have yet to be born. We want to conserve things that work, that matter, that are beautiful, and that are true. So, why is it that so many of you feel as if we keep on electing Republicans and in certain states, the states are getting less free and more collectivistic? Well, it's because for governors in particular, we have been electing managers as governors, not leaders as governors. There's a difference between management and leadership. Management is simply thinking that you can keep on running the state better. I'm going to make sure the state budget is passed. I'm going to make sure that the workers are continually moving forward, and I'm not going to do anything big or decisive. I'm a manager. Now, when difficulty comes and when there is adversity, management does very little. There's a quote that we say quite often here on our program. We also mentioned it on our Instagram. Power shows the man. Aristotle famously said this. You want to find out who a person is? Give them a bunch of power. Give them a big budget. Put them in a situation that has a lot of pressure and see who they are. Now, we found out this last year that there are very few Republican governors worthy of praise. In fact, there's more that are more in the management position. Now, we have been very critical of many of these governors, and some, to their credit, have corrected course along the way. A wise man loves to be corrected. Let me say that again. A wise man loves to be corrected. Who wouldn't want to replace error with truth? A fool commits themselves to abstraction and ideology despite voters demanding a different course. A man who received a lot of criticism from me and from this program that I think has actually corrected course in the last couple weeks is Governor Greg Abbott. Now, Governor Greg Abbott, I thought, mishandled the Chinese coronavirus and the lockdowns. He was slow to reopen. He was quick to issue mask mandates. Yet Governor Greg Abbott is playing hardball right now in the state of Texas. And I want to talk about two states right now, the state of Texas and the state of Arizona. Two completely different situations in the sense of how they're being handled by one that's a manager and one that's a governor. Now, the manager of Arizona is Governor Doug Ducey, typical corporate type. He ran a ice cream shop. I've met Governor Ducey. I know him. I'm not going to say anything about Governor Ducey's character. I think he's actually a pretty nice person. I think Governor Ducey will be a great CEO again in his life, and he was before. But CEOs don't always make good leaders. Let me say that again. CEOs don't always make good leaders. You see, most CEOs are good managers. They're good at making sure what was happening before continues to happen, and they hit certain corporate desired benchmarks. You see, leadership is being able to navigate the uncertain, being able to defend those that can't defend themselves, pick tough fights and win those fights. It takes courage. It takes a commitment to the good. Leadership is being able to profile people, understand their strengths and their weaknesses, organize them effectively, and persevere through difficulty. Leadership requires perseverance. Leadership requires a commitment to honesty and integrity. So let me just tell you a little. I'm going to get to Texas, but I want to tell you what management looks like, not leadership. Over this last weekend, of course, while all of you were celebrating Memorial Day and getting a much-deserved day off, Governor Doug Ducey on Friday vetoed 22 bills. While the audit is happening in Arizona, Republican Governor Doug Ducey, he vetoed a bill that would have prohibited critical race theory from government workers, that would have prohibited mass mailing of ballots to voters who did not request them. He vetoed those bills. And his excuse logically would not be able to pass a second grade logic class. His excuse was, oh, these bills have good merit, but I'm not going to sign any of them until I get a budget. Wait, so if they're good and they deliver value to the people of Arizona, why not sign them and then sign the budget? What kind of backwards thinking is this? Governor Ducey says, quote, today I vetoed 22 bills. Some are good policy. But with one month left until the end of the fiscal year, we need to focus first on passing a budget. That should be priority one. The other stuff can wait. Once the budget passes, I'm willing to consider some of these other issues. But until then, I will not be signing any additional bills. Let's focus on jobs, get to work, and pass the budget. Let's focus on jobs and pass the budget. Is that what your voters are saying? No, your voters are actually very concerned about their children not loving America. They're concerned about the racist critical race theory of organizing people based on skin color, not on character. Senate Bill 1074 targeted critical race theory and would have prohibited any training for government employees involving racism and sexism that, quote, prevents any form of blame or judgment on the basis of race, ethnicity, or sex. What constituency Governor Ducey is serving here, I don't know. But I do know this. If he would have signed these bills, he would have received some backlash. This is a typical corporate type, though. run to the hills and make some excuse. When the courageous thing would have been doing what Governor Abbott in Texas is doing. And again, I've been very critical of Governor Abbott in the last year, right, Connor? Especially after what he did with the lockdowns. But he's correcting himself in a way that I think is very admirable. And we're going to explore that and see exactly what he's doing right. Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out. Relieffactor.com. A true leader has the confidence to stand alone, the courage to make tough decisions, and the compassion to listen to the needs of others. He does not set out to be a leader, but he becomes one by the equality of his actions and the integrity of his intent. General Douglas MacArthur, who famously said, "I shall return to the Philippines," and he made good on that promise. A great man, if only we taught our children great men. Now instead we teach them stuff that will be so horrifying to you, and we are going to get into that. So we know what's happening in Arizona. We have a corporate type, a manager, who, again, I've met Governor Ducey. I'm not going to say that he's a bad person. He is not what Douglas MacArthur would say is a leader. One of my favorite quotes on leadership is from Abraham Lincoln. "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." Very similar to the Aristotle quote of "power shows the man." So Governor Ducey has a lot of power in Arizona. We're learning a lot about him, that he does not care about critical race theory. He thinks it's perfectly fine that children learn the most racist ideology that is currently in America. He thinks it's fine government workers learn critical race theory. He thinks it's perfectly fine that elections do not have integrity and mail-in ballots get sent all over the state of Arizona. And maybe he's afraid of the fight, or maybe he doesn't want to weigh in on actual structural changes because as a corporate type, he just wants to have agreement to pacify the most angry amongst the hordes of the activists. 22 bills Governor Ducey vetoed. But let me tell you somebody who is playing hardball. Governor Abbott. Now, this might be because he is facing, some would say, a credible primary challenge, a potential primary challenge. He might actually have difficulty in the general. I just spoke in Texas Hill Country in Kerrville, Texas, about a month ago. Fun place. And I said, "Do you guys like Governor Abbott?" And the place just roared. They hate him. Booze everywhere. I said, "Wow, okay, I'm never going to do that again." And so I said, "Why?" And they were screaming. So I think Governor Abbott probably received that message. But again, I admire people that course correct. I keep an open mind day to day. If somebody says, "Hey, I'm no longer going to be insulting my voters. I'm going to instead try to do what's right for the people that elected me, and I wasn't doing it before," I'm willing to give them a fair hearing. I'm not going to forget what they once did, but I will applaud people that correct. And so Governor Abbott, he is going to the mat on this. Governor Abbott has now threatened to cut off the salaries of the Democrat state legislatures who walked out of the chamber to prevent a quorum. He says, quote, "No pay for those who abandon their responsibilities." So Governor Abbott is trying to pass far-sweeping voter integrity reform, which would prohibit temporary polling places in a tent or other movable structures that were designed for cars, set times dictating when polling places can be open, make it a Class B misdemeanor for an election officer to knowingly refuse to accept a poll watcher for service, require a paper audit trail for votes, and require those seeking an application to vote by mail because of a disability to provide the, quote, specific grounds on which the voter is eligible for a ballot to be voted by mail on the ground of disability. Would make it a state jail felony for a public official to solicit, quote, the submission of an application to vote by mail from a person who did not request an application. And perhaps the biggest objection is, I'm reading from National Review, is declaring that voting on Sunday may only begin after 1 p.m., which critics contend is an attempt to limit the souls to the polls. But the bill declares the polls may remain open till 9 p.m. Now, of course, Joe Biden has said that this is an assault on democracy. But to get this done, Greg Abbott is willing to call a special session and require the Democrat state legislatures come back. So you have a manager and you have someone who wants to be a leader. Now, maybe he wants to be a leader or maybe he just wants to hold on to power. And we're going to explore that because Governor Abbott is afraid of losing re-election. Governor Ducey is acting like a philosopher king. He's acting like a 13th century autocrat because there is no election that will hold Governor Ducey accountable because he's term limited. This would be an argument against term limits. Elections are supposed to be mechanisms to hold elected officials accountable. There are four distinct aspects of the American system. It is the consent of the governed, the separation of powers, checks and balances, independent judiciary, actually there's five, and representative government. Representative government is that we don't have a direct democracy where you just show up in a town hall meeting, everyone starts screaming, you elect people to represent your values and fight for you. Why is it that so many Republicans are afraid to fight? Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. What are some of your favorite memories with Dad? Listening to a bike ride, camping in Yellowstone, the father-daughter dance at your wedding? Are those moments currently trapped on home movies or slides? Do you or your parents have boxes of bins of old movies or photos in storage? I can talk about Legacy Box. It is terrific. So check it out right now. It's Legacy Box. Get back perfectly preserved digital copies on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud, ready to watch, share, and enjoy. Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos and has helped over 850,000 families digitally preserve their past. Get started preserving your family's legacy today. Go to legacybox.com/Kirk. That's legacybox.com/Kirk. Go to legacybox.com/Kirk. And save 50% while supplies last. Legacybox.com/Kirk. Only a constitutional republic would allow for the differences between states. If you read the Federalist Papers, specifically if you read Federalist 10 and Federalist 51, and Federalist 10 might be the best Federalist paper written. And the Federalist Papers, you might remember, was a series of anonymously written arguments between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. Where the Federalists were written mostly by James Madison and Alexander Hamilton, and the Anti-Federalists were written by Thomas Jefferson. This is when the victors of the American Revolution were wrestling with what type of government do we want? Do we want a direct democracy? Do we want to model ourselves off Athens? Do we want autocracy? Do we want to embrace kind of this wide-reaching confederation of states? Now, the Articles of Confederation were becoming a disaster. They were becoming a disaster because of interstate commerce, because of actual insurrections that were happening all across America, because of a lack of national unity. So in the spring of 1787, there was an agreement that we need to explore these ideas. So the Federalist Papers were written anonymously, actually to a newspaper in New York. Actually, I believe it was the equivalent of the New York Post, by the way. That's an interesting little factoid. Alexander Hamilton started the New York Post, and now they're censored by social media oligarchs. But the Federalist Papers were written, and there was this concern by the Anti-Federalists. And by the way, not everything the Anti-Federalists said were wrong. And the Anti-Federalists, they get kind of swept in the dustbin of history. There was a lot they were right about. But of course, Madison and Hamilton won the debate, and the Constitutional Convention through the summer of 1787 ended in September, which then, of course, started the ratification of the U.S. Constitution and with it the Union of the United States. But within the U.S. Constitution was a recognition of sovereignty of states. And Justice Louis Brandeis, who I believe was somewhat of a liberal, he even said that a beauty of the American system was these laboratories of democracy, that Florida is going to be different than Georgia, and Georgia is going to be different than New York. And so in the last year, there's been a lot of tests thrown at governors. And I would make an argument. This is the most dramatic differences of living in America since before the Civil Rights Act. I believe America is more different in the sense of the differences between states than any other time since the antebellum South. That you have a completely different way of living when you go and travel to Florida, or when you go and travel to Kansas, or New Jersey, or Maine. Now, some of that is very healthy. In fact, I prefer that than the tyranny of the centralized power. The fact that we are able to have some form of self-government, some form of local control, I think is a very healthy thing. And I think it's actually a sustainable thing. But now as we explore management governors versus governors that are leaders, we must ask ourselves the question, why are certain governors willing to pick the tough fights? Now, Governor Abbott, he's playing hardball. Let's listen to some sound here of Governor Abbott. First, let's go to cut 11 on how Governor Abbott is trying to sign a new bill on election reform looking at mail-in ballots. Cut 11.
What this law really does, and so in Texas, every session we focus on making sure we have safe and secure elections, and this has absolutely nothing to do with the past presidential election. But one thing that we do know in Texas, and that is that mail-in ballots are rife with fraud, as well as ballot harvesting.
And he continued by saying there was a voter fraud scheme in southern Texas where an Obama judge ruled that voter fraud happens in abundance. Thank you, Greg Abbott, for saying what we all know to be true. Our leaders need to defend our voters. Cut 12.
And that is not me talking. It's a federal judge appointed by Barack Obama in Texas that made a ruling that said that ballot harvesting and mail-in ballots fraud happens in abundance in the state of Texas. Barack Obama himself, with Joe Biden as vice president, they investigated and prosecuted a ballot harvesting scheme in South Texas where they were using cocaine to buy votes. We're just trying to make sure that we crack down on voter fraud like that.
Good for him. Meanwhile, Governor Ducey is saying, no, we just got to pass a budget. So what does Governor Ducey say? He says that let's focus on jobs, get to work, and pass the budget. Yeah, that's what the Chamber of Commerce would say, of course. That's all they care about. They only care about the needs, wants, and interests of America, the colony, not America, the country. If you think America is just a temporary place to make a bunch of money because it has natural resources and a driven population and you're able to start businesses, but you don't actually care about the fabric of America, the through line that keeps this country, our home, continuing, then you're nothing more than a management class. You see, I can teach management. You can go to Harvard Business School for management. In fact, many of these governors did. You can go to Harvard Business School and learn how to count beans and manage personalities and drive shareholder value and execute a merger and acquisition. Mitt Romney is a manager. Mitt Romney is not a leader. Mitt Romney ran Bain Capital. Mitt Romney was largely responsible for the deindustrialization of America, where he would show up at a manufacturing plant in Indiana and give out pink slips and say, guess what? These washing machines are now made in Wuhan. But a leader is someone who stands up against an injustice and decides to do something about it. To be a leader means that you must have a vision. You must have courage. You must have a commitment to justice, which is the most public of all the virtues. And Governor Ducey is not a leader. He's a manager. Now, Governor Ducey might actually have been a good governor 10 years ago when you were not in a position of high stress, pressure, when people were demanding results. You see, Republican voters used to want managers. This is why Jeb Bush was actually a pretty good governor in Florida. And I've said this before. Jeb Bush was actually a very good governor. Because back in 2000, because we were given a gift by our forefathers, we were able to skate by with a management class running our states. A management class that used to say, you know what? We're not going to change anything dramatically. We're just going to run the state well. School choice, keep taxes low, no transformational structural changes. And Jeb Bush is kind of built for that. Jeb Bush is a CEO type, a corporate type. But would I want Jeb Bush to lead our country into a war? No. Now, the funny thing about leaders and the thing about leadership is that people don't always want to be led. Sometimes they just want to have things managed for them. A great example of this is Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was removed from leadership in a vote of no confidence before the war. He was brought back in a rush of enthusiasm during the war and removed after the war. You see, leadership is something that some people only want when things get really bad. But when things get bad, they say, bring them in. And Governor Ron DeSantis has been probably the best at this. Let's go to cut 13. And, you know, I was just in Chicago and some people that listen to my show said, Charlie, your show is sounding more and more like a Governor Ron DeSantis commercial. I said, well, listen, here's why. We value things that matter. We like the virtues of courage, leadership, direction, results, being honest with your voters. And we have a special disgust for the American political class that has decided that those things don't matter. Play cut of Ron DeSantis.
All the stuff you talked about, but we also banned these Zuckerbucks where Zuckerberg was spending all that money to run the elections in these areas. That is now banned in the state of Florida.
Is the future of the Republican Party, America First, make America great again, or would you add or subtract from any of that?
Oh, I think that's the core of it. I mean, I think President Trump got the basics right. As times change, you have to look to see what new issues come along.
Not exactly sure what he means by times change. I'm going to let him finish that answer, but I think he gets it. And Governor DeSantis has acted on all of these things. He banned critical race theory. So leadership versus management. Critical race theory has been banned in the state of Florida. Critical race theory has been banned in the state of Oklahoma. Thank you, Governor Stitt. Critical race theory has been banned in the state of Montana. Thank you, Governor Gianforte. It's been banned in the state of Tennessee. Thank you, Governor Lee. However, Governor Ducey thinks that critical race theory is just fine. No, he says that, no, we have to pass a budget first. So this is kind of the equivalent. Here's what Governor Ducey's argument is to the people of Arizona, of which we are doing this broadcast right now. Hey, I understand the living room's on fire, but we haven't gone grocery shopping yet because we're all really hungry. That's the argument he's making. Don't put out the fire in the living room. We have to go grocery shopping. And until we go grocery shopping, we can't put out the fire in the living room. Hey, Governor Ducey, put out the fire in the living room, then you can go grocery shopping. He's saying, oh, no, the fire can wait. It's still going to be burning after I get my budget done, after I get grocery shopping done. Do you see the logical incoherence here? Only someone that is either compromised or just kind of in a management point of view. I don't want anything disagreeable. I don't want the activists to come after me. It's inexcusable. And you wonder why Arizona is becoming more and more like Colorado. It's one of my favorite Bible verses. Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the people of Arizona don't know what is right and what is wrong. Without a vision, they say, I guess Democrats are better than Republicans because we have a governor that is not able to articulate clearly what we believe and why we believe it. You know why Florida is now one of the most Republican states in the country? Let me say it again. Florida is more Republican than Georgia. Florida is more Republican than Georgia. Florida is more Republican in some ways than South Carolina. How's that possible? It's because with a vision, people are able to say, I believe in that. Or maybe you don't, and then we'll prove you wrong. But without a vision, which is what living in Arizona is like, there's no vision. None. You got legalized weed. You got the highest taxes in the American Southwest, higher than Illinois. No plan to even get rid of Prop 208. You got homelessness on the rise. You got vagrancy. You got sexual degeneracy curriculum. You got Californians coming in like it's the gold rush. And instead, we're vetoing bills that would actually make Arizona a better place to live. Why? Power shows the man. A lot of people are traveling this summer, and maybe you want to be able to hear the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Maybe you want to be able to hear what we're saying. And so whether it's time for work or play, a lot of us are going to be on the move. And so my advice to you, take Raycons with you. You get crisp, powerful beats at half the price or other premium audio brands. Raycons look great and feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors, even with the customizable gel tips. And Raycons are built to go wherever you go. So listen up. Raycons are offering 15% off their products, and a lot of people say they're great. So just go to buyraycon.com/Kirk. There you'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order. It's such a great deal. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk. buyraycon.com/Kirk. What is liberty? Is liberty doing whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it? Now, liberty is doing what you ought to do, the pursuit of virtue. What is virtue? Well, virtue is the pursuit of the good. What is the good? Well, now we're having a discussion on morality. But the way that secular humanists, the people running our society, have been doing things, we're not even allowed to have a conversation on morality. It's, oh, it's my truth. How do you know a line is crooked if you do not have a straight line to compare it to? Well, in New York City, they are truly pushing the boundaries of postmodern humanism at Columbia Grammar School. For $55,000 a year. This is a story, and I'm reading off of charliekirk.com, where New York City prep parents at Columbia School shows that first graders have to take a pornography class, where they brought in an expert on child pornography. Fonte's curriculum, of course, $450,000 were given by hedge fund billionaires Bill Ackman's Pershing Squares Foundation. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, Bill Ackman is the man who also made a ton of money off of shorting the market last spring. I think it was Bill Ackman's fund who he made multi-billions of dollars, $1.7 billion, I want to say, more than that, off of a massive short of the market. He bought the VIX and then some as soon as the market was at 29,800. Am I right, Connor? You see, we joke around here that I am a wealth of useless information, but it becomes seemingly less useless when it becomes useful. So then these first graders were instructed on how to, and again, I'll do a trigger warning, on how to touch themselves for pleasure, six-year-olds. This is for $50,000 a year. You can get this at a New York City prep school. Fonte reassured parents that he did not use the word that we're all thinking here and that her lessons teach kids not to touch themselves in public. Also, it says it teaches the kids that they must tell their parents that they must ask for consent before they get a hug. No hugging without consent is what Fonte teaches. A Dalton mother told the New York Post, quote, "Kids have no less than five classes on gender identity. This is pure indoctrination." Quote, "This person should absolutely not be teaching children. Ironically, she teaches kids about consent, yet she has never gotten consent from parents about the sexually explicit and age-inappropriate material about transgenderism to first graders. We were horrified to learn this was shown to our first grade 6- and 7-year-old kids without our knowledge or consent. But it's so hard to fight back because you'll get canceled and your child will suffer." Well, how about not sending your kid to the school? Of course you'll get canceled. You see, and it's a provocative question, does liberalism or the movement of liberation always end in degenerative authoritarianism? Is it possible to talk about classical liberalism without it ending up in this? I don't know the answer to that question. Sohrab Ahmari on our program came on and he said no. He said this is inevitable. By the way, this is only going to get worse. Soon we'll be teaching three-year-olds how to touch themselves. Soon we'll be saying that kids do not have to be raised by their parents, which is, of course, a very predictable pattern that the authoritarians and the totalitarians ever use. But for $55,000 a year at the Columbia Grammar School, you can have your child learn that there is no such thing as a man and a woman, that you should be touching yourselves in private, and that your parents should not have to hug you without your consent. Columbia Grammar and Preparatory School. I'm reading off of charliekirk.com if you want to read it for yourself. It's on our front page. And this is a prep school. Education comes from the Latin word to lead forth. What are we leading our children forth into if they are going for $55,000 a year? And until parents start to take ownership of their children and take their kids out and start to make noise and not just say, as this one parent says, well, we're going to get canceled. Ah, so you're worried your child won't go to Yale, but you're perfectly fine with them learning this stuff when they're 6 years old. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.